Welcome to the Shipping Podcast, a multi-fandom podcast for the shipper in you. Hosted by Shirazade, your friendly mod, OTP shipper and fandom old.
Hello and welcome to our very first special episode. I, or rather the lovely Meyerzolf, would like to tell you about a very, very interesting band. They're called Steam Powered Giraffe, and they consist of a bunch of steam powered robots. Yes, you heard that correctly. It is as mad and steampunky awesome as it sounds.
Well, come with me, I'll show you how to be a metal man. When the gears are turning and the files are burning. When the world takes around, your voice is talking all the time. And you live for sleeping, you've never slept because you cannot sleep.
Originally, this was planned as a regular episode of the Shipping Podcast, but it ended up being more of a proper general introduction to the band as a whole. So I figured that might be a good first special episode for you, my lovely patrons. Thanks so much for supporting the podcast, you're the best. Luckily, Meyerzolf was willing to talk to me again. I'll also include some clips from music and performances by Steam Powered Giraffe, so you can get an idea of what we're talking about. So, let's do that, shall we? Hi, Maya. Thank you for doing this. Why don't you introduce yourself quickly?
Sure. Hi, my name is Meyerzolf. I'm a 20-year-old Australian, and I like robots.
Robots in general or like steampunk in particular?
Steampunk in particular, but I love like machinery and that whole thing.
So is that like your main fandom or are you in other
fandoms? It is at the moment. Mm-hmm. I kind of tend to usually I'll kind of I find that my attention only has time for really one fandom that I'm really active in, and then the other ones tend to kind of I dip in and out of every so often. But at the moment, Steam Powered Giraffe is the one I'm kind of most active in, and also probably I think the longest lasting one.
Yeah,
as far as being really active in has gone. I've kind of been active in it ish like I started actively posting late last year, but I've kind of been following the band since I think maybe about March-ish last year.
Yeah, but I saw they've been around for quite a while.
Oh yeah, they've been around for a very long time, since I was like 8 or something.
Because you're a baby.
Yes, I'm a little baby. I'm like in internet years, I'm like 7.
This is actually really what I found really interesting about Steam Powered Giraffe, that it's a band, but it's not an RPF fandom.
No, it is not. That is a very
And RPF interesting... is real person fiction, just for in case
for the uninitiative. Yeah. No, it is kind of similar to the Gorillaz in that sense, where the characters, like the band is real, but the characters that run it are fictional. And played by actors.
Yeah, that's what I learned when you sent me this useful playlist.
Yes, the starter pack playlist.
Yeah.
I was putting that together, and literally as soon as I sent it, I was like, oh, I left out this clip. Oh, I left out that clip. Oh, but that song. So that's what happens when you've got like just over a decade worth of things to go through. Some stuff is always going to get left by the wayside.
Yeah, well, you'll just have to update the list, and then we'll put it in the show notes and other people can
Oh yes, I will definitely do that. I'm always one for sharing my little robot obsession with people. For the uninitiated, Steam Powered Giraffe is an American music act / pantomime troupe run by at the moment, it's got kind of three main members plus a couple of people who kind of do instruments or come in as like little acts, break up the acts every once in a while. And their shtick is that within the fiction of the band, they are steam-powered automatons built for the purpose of entertainment. in a kind of parallel timeline where steam power is kind of something that can support artificial intelligence.
Yeah. And they have like funky makeup, yes, and clothes and everything.
Yes, they have like funky makeup and they're kind of trained mimes, I believe. Mm-hmm. So they kind of use that to mimic the movements of like the old animatronics you'd see at theme parks. And they use things like a detail that they added not super recently, but they have added it. They have things like glowing parts of their costumes, or they have little smoke machines kind of attached to their belts that release puffs of steam out of their backs to mm-hmm. make it look like they're venting steam. So that they're very dedicated to the whole robot idea, to the point of having like a very complicated lore and timeline mm-hmm. on their website. That is completely insane and makes no sense, but I love it anyway.
And I saw something about like comics and stuff as well.
Yes, they also have comics, but most of them have gone uncompleted. And that definitely doesn't bother me mm-hmm. at all. But there's comics and stage shows and live streams, and there was going to be a book, like a picture book for children, mm-hmm. but that eventually fell through. There was a trading card game briefly that kind of also fell through. Things like that. But mostly they tend to stick to performances mm-hmm. and albums. Which, in a wonderful stroke of luck, they actually announced a new album, mm-hmm. their seventh album, on Monday. So I have that to look forward to.
Yeah. And all the latest news you can find on Patreon, patreon.com/steampoweredgiraffe.
My hope is that because the new album is coming out, maybe it'll get people who kind of haven't been listening to the band for a while back in. And then maybe that will like lead to kind of a snowball, but who knows? Who knows? But yeah, I know that a lot of people are trying to guess what the current, like what the name of the next album is going to be, because they have this thing, maybe you've noticed it as I've been talking, but each of their albums is named after the number of album that it's on.
Yes.
You've got like the obvious ones like Album 1 and 2 Cent Show, but then you've got like The Vice Quadrant, like Quarter, which is their fourth album mm-hmm. and stuff, which mm-hmm. I think is really neat. I love that they do that.
Yeah.
So a lot of people are trying to think, like, what is a pun that we can make off of six?
Yeah. And who are the characters?
So there have been a couple of different characters coming in and out as time's gone by. Mm-hmm. The original lineup was The Spine, mm-hmm. Rabbit. So The Spine is a tall silver robot with kind of spikes coming out of his back, who wears a black fedora, but let's not judge him too harshly for that. Then there's Rabbit, who is the
He was alive when when fedoras were the latest thing, wasn't he?
Yes, he was alive when they were fashionable. And then there's Rabbit, who was the first robot to be created in the timeline, who mm-hmm. Is Copper. She's also in the current lineup the only female robot. Mm-hmm. Then there was Upgrade, who was a previous band member who was a pink female robot who I love to bits and miss dearly. The John, who is kind of a fan favorite, who's kind of a little bit weird and a little bit crazy, in a kind of cartoony way, and he was very entertaining. Then there was Hatchworth, who was a robot that was built around the same time as Rabbit in the Spine, but was put away in storage for a while because he was venting toxic fumes and no one knew how to fix that. And then he left and he has been replaced with a robot named Zero, who was an unfinished prototype, who was recently completed. And I do believe he's technically the youngest out of all of the robots, mm-hmm. I think. And he's quickly becoming one of my favorites. He's only been in the band for about a year or so. And then aside from the robots, you have the kind of characters / people who help them out. So you have their sound engineer, Steve. The one man band, Mr. Michael Philip Reed, who plays every single instrument under the sun. Drummer man Sam, who is actually played by the same person. He's played by Sam Luke, who actually played Hatchworth, who plays the drums for them sometimes, though he doesn't really do it anymore. And then the Walter workers, and there have been several over the years, but the current ones are Walter worker Chelsea and her sister Walter worker Camille.
What do they do?
Their thing is that they are the outside of the law, they're the backup dancers and they run the merch tables. In law, they are mechanics who kind of, when the robots break down or need maintenance, will come on stage and fix them. And kind of keep them up and running.
And what's up with the name Walter Worker?
So the company that makes all the robots is Walter Robotics. So the staff are called Walter Workers.
Ah. So how did you even get into Steam Powered Giraffe?
Well, I got into Steam Powered Giraffe because of Reddit. There was a story on Reddit where they were briefly mentioned, and I'd kind of already been into the steampunk-ish aesthetic for a while, thanks to my school, because they brought in an author who wrote a steampunk novel to talk to us, and he came dressed in like the full gear, and I was like, what is this? I need to know everything about it. So I had already been in the steampunk kind of fandom for a bit, and then I heard about this band that was like, hey, they're a band and they're like steampunky robots and they do kind of vaudeville-ish music, and I was like, yes, all the yes, this is my new favorite thing. So we built these wonderful automaton globes in a very big steam, now we'll cheer our smokes. Basically, from what I can tell, they don't really have a set like style, like they're not particularly country or they're not particularly pop or whatever. From my experience, each album kind of has a bit of a distinct sound to it. Like, album one was very vaudeville-y, like it had a lot of stories in it and kind of showy kind of songs. Then there was The 2 Cent Show, which was definitely more kind of country and more kind of about like traveling around America and that kind of sound. Mark 3 was definitely more disco-y. The Vice Quadrant is just like space opera through and through. It's amazing. Then there's
how many albums are there?
There's 5, soon to be 6. And I don't know what the 6th album is going to be. A lot of people think because the Vice Quadrant had a story in it that ended on a cliffhanger. A lot of people think that the 6th album, whatever it's going to be called, is going to be a continuation of that, but I'm not quite sure, because if I remember correctly, the original intention was to finish the Vice Quadrant storyline in a comic that never got made. But I don't know if they're going to go that route or not. But we shall see. we shall see.
Is there an active fandom?
There is. It is very small these days. It was a bit more active, but then for various reasons, it kind of fizzles out briefly, but then it's sort of starting to get kick back into it. There's a very active cosplay community because the band encourages you to come up with your own characters to go in the canon, and they are called fanbots. So that's a very big part of the fan base, and you've got quite a small but active community on Tumblr, so usually you can go on the Tumblr tag and there'll be something posted there, and there's also quite a few people on Instagram posting like videos and fan art and things like that.
Yeah, and I did notice on YouTube they have quite a high view count.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. They do get quite a decent amount of attention whenever they post a YouTube video or when they do a live stream or things like that. And I feel like the fandom is going to kick back up again now that the album has been announced. So I feel like you're going to get people who maybe haven't listened to them in a while coming back, or maybe even new people coming in and seeing what all the fuss is about, which is very much what I'm hoping, because as nice as small fandoms are, it's always good to kind of share with other people.
And is there fake as well?
Yes, but it's very kind of like there are fics, but it tends to be like three or four people posting the fics rather than like a very wide variety of authors, and most of them are quite old.
Are there like common fanons?
There are very common fanons and canons, and I think that it's kind of interesting. The Steampunk Giraffe lore is very complicated and strange. It's very much kind of like, if you can imagine a crazy scenario, that probably exists in canon already.
Okay.
There is a character in canon who is a immortal vampire queen who feasts on the blood of other undead.
Okay.
Things like that. Crazy things like that. Parallel timelines, time travel, things like that. It's very strange. So in a way, fanon kind of exists to simplify it almost.
Oh, okay.
You do get things like fanon and canon, especially with the rotating cast. The timeline has kind of had to be retconned. So there's like a very popular, like originally in the original canon, original lineup of bots, like in the original created group, were the Spine, Rabbit, Upgrade, and the John. And then because of the way that things got shuffled around and the timeline changed based on who was in the band and who wasn't, it's kind of been accepted things like the John and Upgrade were made further down the line than the others. General fanon also comes across things like let me think for a moment. General fanon is things like Rabbit, to kind of account for things like Rabbit and the Spine and the other robots being considered siblings. That is kind of, for a while it was more fanon than canon, but now it has been made part of the canon that all the robots are considered to be siblings. There are differences between fanon and canon, for example, there's a where other robots are, like the ones that have left the show or that left the band, where they've gone tends to be left up to fanon. Some people, just to make things a bit more kind of easy to digest, change the timeline of events, like the order of specific events, to just make it a bit more kind of easy to work within. Stuff like that. Some people make the robots more angsty, some people make the robots less angsty. It's mostly fanon is just adding angst, but that's always what fanon is.
Do the robots have a love life?
Well, that varies. They say that they don't. It's kind of like, they're like, we don't have emotions, we're robots. And then you listen to their songs and watch their bits and you're like, these are very emotional robots. And their kind of love songs are so like sappy and adorable that you're kind of like, yeah, they can feel affection.
Yeah.
And kind of and date people. And I think it was mentioned somewhere that at the very least Rabbit has had people that she's dated. I don't know, that could be me getting fanon and canon mixed up there, but it is kind of said that even though it's kind of mixed as to whether or not they say they can, they can feel emotion and love and things like that.
You didn't have to look my way. Your eyes still haunt me to this day. But you did. Yes, you did. You didn't have to say my name. My circuit's a star of flame, but you
Yeah, and the music is very catchy.
It is very catchy. I listen to it quite a lot. It's kind of the thing I tend to listen to most, just because it's kind of it's very kind of catchy, very swingy, very high mm-hmm. energetic. It tends to make me happy
yeah.
a lot of the time. So if I'm just in a bad mood or whatever, I'll stick on one of their albums and I'll usually pick myself up.
Yeah, I really liked it as well. It's cool. Mm. I'm glad you introduced me to it.
I'm happy to introduce anyone who wants to listen. Most of my friends will vouch. Yeah. I shove this band in their face like there's no tomorrow. If you are listening to this and like what you hear, you should definitely go put money towards that Patreon.
Okay, then we will put a link to that in the show notes.
It's always fun whenever I introduce it to new people, especially when I show them videos and they see the makeup and the movements yes. and things like that.
Yeah.
Like, I had a friend who for the longest time was terrified of them because he found their movements really uncanny. Because it is, especially in their older stuff, it does get so realistic to the way that animatronics move.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Yeah, they do. Yeah, they're really good with, like, the whole movement and everything.
Yeah, like, that was kind of a thing that, I remember they were on they did a kind of cameo on a TV show, mm-hmm. A few years ago called Oddities San Francisco. And I remember, so they come into the little like kind of shop area that the kind of show is based around. It's mm-hmm. kind of like the show Porn Stars, like the porn shop show, but for weird things
uh-huh.
like things like that, like very strange things. So they were kind of brought in looking for kind of a robot-y thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a point where they kind of switched on the robotic movements and started doing it. And then the kind of hostess's face was just a mix of like, what is going on right now?
No one had told her what to expect.
I genuinely don't think they did. I think maybe they mentioned it, like maybe like, oh, they do robotic movements. And she's yeah. kind of like assuming it's like, you know, when you do the robot dance uh-huh. and things like that. She didn't expect it to be so on point. But yeah, no, I could talk about Steam Hydra for hours and yeah. have on several occasions. But the fandom is very kind of, it's a very nice place to be for the most part. And you've got like you've got a lot of people. There's a lot of cosplayers, which leads me nicely to talking about fanbots.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Basically, a fanbot.
Yeah, you mentioned them in passing.
I have mentioned them in passing. A fanbot is kind of, because the SPG has like their own little universe and there are a lot of different robots and stuff, a lot of people like to make up their own robot characters and kind of come to performances with the whole like face paint and the outfits, and some people like to do the movements as well. And mm-hmm. that kind of led to a kind of phenomenon with the fanbots as early as the busking days. I think I remember hearing like an interview somewhere that a lot of the time people would see them busking and then they'd have like this audience made up of people dressed up as robots, and they weren't sure if the robots were part of the act as well or if it was
that is so yeah. cool.
And they're very helpful when it comes to kind of doing that sort of thing. Like, they have a couple of panels that you can find on YouTube, which I'll probably add to the starter pack, which are literally about mm-hmm. like advice with like how to use the makeup and what brands to use, and if you were trying to do the movements, how would you do that and stuff like that. I think they're called Be Your Own Bot panels.
That's really cool.
But they are uh-huh. they're very useful, especially if you're like me and you're trying to get your own like little costume together.
Oh, you're prepping your own fanbot.
Yeah. It's a lot of people have them. Some people draw them. Some people like to cosplay as them. One of my favorite people I follow on Tumblr has a fanbot called Mercy, and she'll do like I know that it gets a lot of flack, but TikToks, she'll make like little TikToks in full costume with the movements, and it's very
TikToks.
Yeah, like it's like a lip syncing thing.
Okay.
But she makes little ones like that in like full makeup and stuff, and it's really adorable and I love it. And I actually drew fan art
mm-hmm.
at one point. And there's another cosplayer whose name has completely left my mind, so I have to look them up, who wears one of Rabbit's old outfits. Like, she recreated the outfit mm-hmm. And it is like amazing. I don't know if she's a dancer or something, but she looks like one. And it's so great whenever you go on like the Tumblr tag and you see people, or you see people at concerts, like in the audience with their like full makeup and outfits and stuff. It's just amazing kind of seeing them really get into that, and the like, and everyone in the band really supports it as well. Like you get, like they've made their own little thing called Kazoo Land, which I have no idea how that works. That is a can of worms all in itself, which is kind of considered to be the place where all the fanbots live.
Okay.
That's like the one piece of the lore that I'm kind of spotty on. I don't really know much about it there. But yeah, so making up your own fan characters.
You'll just have to become a fanbot.
Yeah, I have to get into,
and then you can live there.
I have to do my research and then I'll be able to find out what that's about. But it's all very kind of, as a very big part, people making up their own bots, their own water workers or water nates, I think, is the jargon for a male water worker, even though I don't really know.
That's a gender.
Well, in the early days, they were called the water girls. Like it was a very kind of exclusively female thing, but they changed it to water workers eventually. I can't remember when. I want to say about 2013-ish, but I don't know, because that was a bit before my time. But they're always very supportive of that kind of thing. Which is great, and it's also really bad for my wallet because it means that I have to that I buy a lot of steampunky outfit stuff because there's a steampunk costume shop not that far from me, which is both amazing and terrible because it's where I spend all my money.
So there will be a fanbot version of you at some
definitely
point.
I have my friends and I, I got one of my friends into I got one of my friends into Steam Powered Giraffe through kind of brute force. I just kept playing it while he was around and he eventually got into it. And he would always joke, because we're both kind of musical, that we should dress up as our fanbots and go out busking like they used to do. Which would be fun, I think, and it would also be a great way for people to maybe get interested in the band. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it's just kind of like a silly thing that we always say we will do. But I definitely do plan on breaking out my fanbot for like a con or something at some point. The Steam Powered Giraffe fandom is very strange and interesting, and like the lore is very weird and all that stuff, and you need like a conspiracy theory corner to keep track of it all. It is very good for fan works. It is basically a big playground that you can just run around in as a fan fiction author, or even like as a fan artist or comic artist or anything like that. It's very easy to kind of create fan works for.
And I mean, yeah, because which is like the whole steampunk aesthetic as well.
The steampunk aesthetic, and because the band's timeline spans such a far kind of timeline, like it spans from the 18th century to like far into the future. True. If you wanted to say, like, I don't know, write a fan fiction where they were in feudal Japan, you could do that because they would have existed at that point. Or if you wanted to write a fan fiction set during the golden age of piracy, they would have probably existed at that point. So they're kind of, it's very easy for you to kind of fit them in or fit other bits and pieces in. It lends itself very well to that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's really cool. And is that being done?
In some cases, yes. It's very interesting when, for example, one of the fanfiction authors, Bree Whistler, I don't know, is usually right in canon, but sometimes things will happen in the fic that happened in canon that will catch me off guard. And then I'll be like, oh no, wait, yeah, that can happen. Like there was a point in one of her stories where people's nightmares became true. And that really confused me when I read about it in one of her fan fictions. The title escapes me currently. But then I remembered, no, that happened in the timeline. So it's very much a case of like my only problem is that like it's because the timeline is so weird and mm-hmm. everything happens, there's no real room for AUs.
Yeah.
Because yeah. most of the stuff's happened. Like if you wanted to write a story where the spine owns a bookshop, that happened in canon.
Oh.
In one of the because they do things like they have a podcast that's like they ad lib stories that the mm-hmm. robots get up to. And in one of those stories the spine ended up owning a bookshop. So that happened in canon and it's very strange and it's kind of I'd love to see what other people more talented than me can do with mm-hmm. this kind of big messy sandpit of random ideas.
Yeah. That sounds like a really, really wide field for fandom.
Yeah.
For fan creators to frolic in.
Yeah, in a way, that's why I love it so much. Because if you wanted to write, you know, like a big, epic space opera featuring these characters or whatever, you can do that. But if you're like me and you just want to write fluffy slice of life, bits and pieces set in like a kind of a more contemporary setting, you can do that as well. Mm-hmm. And it's all kind of, it all fits together. And that's kind of what I love about it. Because I've always loved seeing, like, the stuff that other people can make with fandom, mm-hmm. like fan art and fan fiction and original characters. I've always loved that kind of stuff. So it's always great, especially to, like, go through the fanbot tag on Tumblr and see what people are doing.
Yeah. I will have to do that because I imagine that people can come up with really cool versions.
Yeah, you get a lot of people doing like really intricate like face makeup as well, which mm-hmm. is crazy. And even like within the band itself, like you've got the more simple designs mm-hmm. like the spine and upgrade, which are mostly like one or two colors with like very simple kind of lines and stuff like that. And then you get stuff like Rabbit's kind of more recent designs where it's all very kind of like there's a lot of intricate bits, stuff like that, and it's always really interesting because you can go as simple as just like painting your face and doing a lines to make it look like paneling, or you can go like all out and do like wire effects and things like that. Or I know one thing that they do currently is they've got like they put like smoke, tiny little smoke thingies on their backs or something.
Yeah, you mentioned that. Like yeah,
to make it look like they're venting steam. And that is so cool the way that they do that, because they like they really want to kind of sell the illusion. And I think that mm-hmm. I remember that was one thing that my friend said when I introduced them, was that they loved the dedication to it, like the dedication mm-hmm. to the look and the kind of the aesthetic, because even the spine has like these huge like ridges coming out of his back that like glow in the dark and everything, and like bits of their costumes glow in the dark when the lights are out, and it just looks so cool. How they kind of like they're so sort of like no, we're going all in with this robot thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also taking it off again.
Yeah, I remember one of them who I think played Hatchworth during a Q&A said something about you know when you wear makeup like regularly and you get kind of makeup fatigue and you're like, okay, I need to get this off, otherwise like no one talked to me until I washed my face to get this all off. He said, imagine that for your entire body, basically. So it's
sorry,
very kind of full on.
Yeah.
when it comes to that kind of stuff. And like even just the outfits, like wearing like the steampunk like the corsets and stuff. Like I've got one, I wear it out like every so often when I go to like a steampunk event, and then by the time I'm finished I'm like, I need to get this off or I'm gonna pass out.
How did they come up with that?
How did they come up with the fanbots or
No, the whole concept.
Of
steam powered giraffe.
If I remember correctly, they were mimes, trained to be mimes, and they would do little skits. And one of those skits involved being robots, and they were kind of like oh, hey, you know, busking is a good way to earn a little bit of extra money on the side. How about we take this mime act, you know, outside and do that? And they were, okay, well, I don't think it would be a good idea for us to do all of them, because I think they did, like, a cowboy one, maybe something to do with pirates, and the robot one, and they were like, well, why don't we just do the robot thing outside? And I think the original idea was they would stand still until someone put money in their donation bin, and then they would perform a song. But then that didn't really work, because people were kind of too kind of spooked to try that. So there would be like some times where they would just stand completely still, which is when they started kind of introducing the more ad-libby kind of performative elements, aside from just being kind of like machines. And it just kind of expanded from there.
Who would have thought that, like, more than 10 years later, yeah, and they're still doing it?
10 years and God knows how many third members later. They're kind of, like, that was kind of the big thing with the 10-year anniversary special that they did, that you can buy a recording of, which I highly recommend to anyone who's interested, where you kind of really got a sense of the scale. Because they had like old, like they had their old drummer come in, and they had all the old bots come in, and they did this one big performance where they all sang songs together and did skits, and it was really interesting seeing like these robots who had never actually interacted because they weren't in the band at the same time, kind of having little skits together, and it was really, really fun and interesting, and it was just kind of like you really got a sense of the fact that it had been over a decade. Sorry, the dog's barking again. God damn it, you were so quiet and now you're all...
Don't worry.
But no, it is... I'm so happy that I found this kind of band and they, like, that they're still going even though, like, they are still very small by, like, band standards. And I honestly hope that, like, that's kind of the reason I keep pushing them on people and kind of bringing them up is because I love them so much. I want them to be successful. You know, I want them to be on the same level as like the Gorillaz or like, stuff like that. Because like with the Gorillaz, we have seen that this band's concept, like the idea of a fictional band, can really like go places. And I really want to see that with them because I feel like they deserve it because of like the amount of effort and time they put into everything.
Yeah.
And where should people go if they want more steam powered giraffe?
There's Ask SPG Bots, which is a incredibly active, like a few times a day posting at the moment, at least, Ask blog that's kind of recently popped up that I've absolutely fallen in love with.
Great. So send me all the links and I'll put them in the show notes.
I will definitely be doing that.
Yeah. And again, also a link to your introductory YouTube playlist.
Yes. Yes, I will probably add a few more things here and there, but it will, with any luck, it will be a one-stop kind of introduction to the band. So if you wanted to show it to your friends, you could just send them that or something like that.
I also found the video on YouTube that someone did for like a school project, which gives like a handy little introduction.
Yes, yes, that's a very kind of brief overview of the history of the band.
Yeah.
If you were looking to,
I found kind that of... very useful.
Yes, it is very useful. Bottom line, Steam Powered Giraffe is awesome. If you haven't listened to them already, you should be listening to them.
So, where can people find you online?
You can find me in a number of places. I'm most active on Tumblr these days, so if you want to see me reblogging a lot of SPG stuff, you can find me at MyAzolf on Tumblr. If you're looking for me on AO3, where I post my terrible, terrible fan fiction, it's the same name. And if you want to hear more of my voice, I can't imagine why, and you want to hear me talk more about Steam Powered Giraffe, I have a YouTube channel where I'm currently making my way through a series of videos where I review every SPG album.
Yeah, that's
And I'm
cool.
currently working on the video for their second album, Two Cent Show, which I'm sure people are going to get mad at because it's really popular and I think it's a little overrated.
Ooh, controversy, controversy.
That being said, I still spent over $100 on a vinyl, a signed vinyl of the album. Ooh. So clearly I don't hate it.
No. So I get the feeling you pretty much don't hate anything about Steam Powered Giraffe.
Nope. I don't hate a single thing about it. I love it to pieces. And I love all the albums and all the songs and all the people involved. It's kind of my, like most fandoms I've been in the past, I've had, like, something about it that I didn't like. Like, maybe there was a NAF season or there was a character I didn't really like or things like that. But with this, I'm like, no, I'm all in.
Well, I enjoyed myself a lot. Thanks so much for sharing all this with me.
You're very welcome. Hopefully I didn't go too off topic.
No. It's such an unusual fandom. I think it's really cool. And I think this got, it's a nice overview. And hopefully will make people curious, just like it did me.
Yes. Like I've been saying, I'm always, always excited to see new people coming in. And the fandom in general, especially on Tumblr, is so kind of nice. We always love it when we see new people popping up and posting.
Great. So, thanks again.
Thank you again for having me.
Hello, goodbye, t'was nice to know you. How I find myself without. Hello, goodbye, I'm rather crazy. And I never thought I was crazy.
Thanks again to Maya Zolf for talking with me. Not just once, but twice. Subsequently, there's some unevenness in the audio quality, for which I apologize, but which I hope hasn't detracted from your enjoyment of this very first special episode. Normally on the Shipping Podcast, we talk about people's ships, but here on Patreon, we are free to play a little. This time, we talk about a very special fandom. For the next special episode, I've had requests to do a roundtable chat about rare pair shipping. In any case, if you're here and you're supporting my little podcast, I'm incredibly thankful and would love to hear any suggestions or ideas you might have. You can follow and get in touch on Tumblr as ShippingCast, on Twitter as Shipping_cast, and you can email the podcast on theshippingcast@fandomish.net or get in touch here on Patreon. We'll be back with a regular episode on June 14th, earlier for you guys, of course, when I will talk with Stitch about the ship of Hannibal Lecter and Will Graham from the TV show Hannibal, a pairing not for the faint of heart. I'm Shirazade, spelled Shirasade, and you can find me as such on Tumblr, AO3, YouTube, Pillowfort, Dreamwidth, and on Shirazade.net. I've also joined Mastodon as Shirazade@fandom.inc with a K. The podcast artwork was created by the wonderful Little Zion. The theme music is Sailor Song by the Peerless Quartet. For this episode, I used clips from Brass Goggles and Honeybee by Steam Powered Giraffe. Thanks so much for listening, and remember, you are the captain of your ship.
This would be a perfect opportunity to introduce ourselves. Well, my name is Bravin, and I was built back in 1896. You know, back when it was still illegal for women to read and write. All the men dressed like Mr. Peanut. But like a priceless antique, folks.
Yes, Rabbit, you've aged like a fine milk.
You're laughing.
My name is the Spy, and I was built with a titanium alloy spine.
Nice!
Is there sarcasm in your voice?
Well, I can, as we've established, I can talk about them till the cows come home. I've got a friend over from the UK at the moment, and I feel so bad for them, because literally since from the moment they landed to now, I've just been talking their ear off about this band.
Well, they probably knew what they were getting into, right? I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's the rule. It's like, I don't know, I'm so used to recommending them to people and for them to not, like, check it out, like, they're just like, yep, just let Laura ramble. And then I made a friend, and then I mentioned it offhandedly, and then I mentioned them again, and he was like, oh yeah, I looked them up. And I'm like, I'm not used to people looking things up when I recommend them.
So you actually made a convert.